I'm Brian Russo. Welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll meet a married couple who inspire each other with their art. We'll talk about their acclaimed work, their creative process, and their simultaneous gallery exhibitions that you can visit right now in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. But first, you may not have realized it during such a busy week in the news that here on the coast, we are smack dab in the middle of hurricane season. The National Weather Service predicted we'd see at least 6 Atlantic hurricanes this year, but so far we've only seen one. That's good news for coastal residents, who would most likely be pleased with a little respite from major storms after last year's Superstorm Sandy and Hurricane Irene the year before. Ocean City Emergency Services Director Joe Theobald told me, "Our luck will eventually run out, and inevitably, we will face another major storm here on the coast." But he says the lessons learned from Irene and Sandy have improved not only coastal residents' awareness of major storms, but also the local government's preparedness plans.
The public should remember that Sandy was a late storm that nobody expected last year at the end of October. Yeah. And look what it did, its toll on the East Coast. So our efforts for preparing the community don't change based on the calendar per se. You know, we just continue the effort throughout the year as well as we continue it now. It is certainly that, you know, we are trying to stress that the community has to be part of the partnership to be successful should something happen. You know, government has that obligation to go through the preparedness cycle and put things in place with the right training and the right resources that if we have to respond or mitigate a problem, we're prepared. That's our end of it. Equally, you know, the public and the community has to be part of that process. Heed what we say. We do everything we can to educate the community that they understand it, but simple little things like knowing the evacuation routes and taking some self-reliance that bad things happen, whether it be a natural event or a man-made event, and we as a community as a whole, we'll be challenged for those first number of hours and days. So we want everybody on the same page that when something, should something potentially bad happen, everybody understands their role and how we operate, and we're all ready to get through it together.
Much of emergency preparedness planning is oftentimes hypothetical. But in the past few years, we've had a couple near misses, as they say. Hurricane Irene, obviously, we had the first major evacuation in Ocean City for 25 years. Last year, Hurricane Sandy, we were spared predominantly. We saw a ton of damage in New York and New Jersey, even south and Crisfield. What did we learn just in those two storms about how prepared we are and the impact a major storm could have on this resort?
Well, I mean, we as a community were certainly blessed with Sandy. And you're correct. Irene was we tested the waters on evacuating a large number of people. Nobody wants to evacuate the community. We understand the socioeconomic issues that play into that. We don't want to shut businesses down. But life safety is a primary focus of government. We have to keep people safe. With Sandy, we were very, very fortunate. You know, as the crow flies 100 miles, 80 miles, one way or another, would have been a whole different ballgame for Ocean City. And Ocean City would be feeling the effects as originally indicated in the forecast. We'd still be rebuilding, just as New Jersey is. So we're very fortunate. So we learn, unfortunately, through the tragedies of others, how to improve our overall planning process, how we all interrelate, both the public and the private partnership, to mitigate issues. You know, my goal is not just to have a prepared community. We want to have a resilient community, too, so that when something does take place, we're ready to bounce back and be able to move forward as a community as a whole. We're in the process of going to council shortly with our a comprehensive emergency operations plan that we've been rewriting for the last 2 years. And as soon as that is approved, we're going to move into a recovery planning phase. And that's going to take both the government and the community, businesses, citizens. We want everybody to be on part of that process, that when we come up with a recovery plan, it's not the time after something bad happens, it's beforehand. So we will know what Ocean City is to look like and how we're going to operate and how we're going to put those tenants together. So very busy, continually busy, but government has that responsibility to keep the community safe.
Can you outline any of the new measures that might be in not only the preparedness plan, but also the recovery plan that people in the business community should take, a real hard look at?
Well, it's premature to really speak on how we would change our recovery, looking at the recovery portion of it. I think that we have the community pretty much in tune at this point that we have to work together for the preparedness and the response. But we need the input of the community for the recovery portion. You know, recovery is over a period of time. You have short term and you have long term. In a totally devastated community, you could be looking at a 10-year recovery. So we want to take a step back, and we'll start that process in short order, hopefully sometime right after the first of the year. And it'll be a long process. It's going to take some time, but we'll get the right people at the table, and collectively we'll work together, come to consensus. And when it's all said and done, we hope that our recovery plan is an example for others.
You mentioned earlier of kind of learning through the unfortunate events of what other coastal communities are going through. How much of what you're preparing now is taking into consideration and looking at what's being done in a coastal community like New Jersey that was just devastated by Sandy?
Well, we are fortunate in an ocean city that we've taken the mitigation measures along the coastline that a lot of New Jersey didn't have in place. It's a lesson learned on many people's part. So when we look at it, we will just enhance what we've done previously, strengthen some of the things we've done. And we are a coastal community. There's no better place to live in the United States. However, we are along the coast, and we can't control Mother Nature. What she gives us, she takes away in a heartbeat. So we choose to live here. We mitigate and take as much protection as possible for the infrastructure, property owners, etc. But all we do may not be enough, one day. We saw how the Back Bays met the coastal highway previously with Sandy. You run from the water and you hide from the wind, and we can only do so much. But where we are situated, we are taking every measure possible to mitigate future effects, working closely with planning and zoning and looking at the new flood stage plans. We do everything we possibly can, but everything we do may not be enough should another Sandy come here. And we have to be prepared for it. And that's the message to the community. We'll do everything we can cooperatively together to protect life, safety, and property. It may not end the way we think it's going to end.
Certain areas on this island are more susceptible to massive storms than other areas. Obviously, we have the beach replenishment project, which has built up a dune system, which has saved millions of dollars, maybe even billions, as far as oceanfront properties. But you mentioned the flooding and the tidal push that we saw from the Bayside. As you look at our community, obviously many people who live here know that the downtown region floods. It's very susceptible. It's low-lying. Is our Bayside also one of those?
Absolutely. We cannot control the Back Bay filling up with storm surge, unfortunately. And yes, anyone that's familiar with Ocean City knows that the low-lying areas are susceptible of flooding. But we did, during Sandy and Irene, realize that some of the other communities, mid-Ocean City as well as North, are very susceptible to surge flooding. And the individuals that reside in those areas and own properties have to understand that and understand the flood maps and how it does work. Be familiar. Understand that you may be in a community that could be cut off by water for a period of time. And the first responders will get to you, but that's why we stress be part of the process, be part of the team, that you may have to take care of yourselves for a period of time, or you may have to leave based on advisement for your own life safety. We want everybody to be safe. That's first and foremost in government. And working together, we're going to all be that way, and it'll end up we'll do the right thing.
At the beginning of hurricane season, the headline was, well, they're projecting 9 hurricanes and a number of tropical storms. And people got up in arms and then thought, oh my gosh, are we going to have another Sandy this year? Every year, they project that many storms, some years more than others. When you looked at the projection from the National Weather Service about how many named storms we may have and how many weather events we may have, was it anything that you thought we're going to have a worse year than last year or a worse year than past years?
Listen, we certainly pay close attention to their preliminary forecasts. But it only takes one storm. You know, every year there will be a hurricane season. Every year there is the potential for one or more storms to impact this community. Even though we take every storm that starts working its way and we pay close attention to the forecast once it has formed, I don't pay close attention to the names. You know, there are average years and there are more years that there are more activity and less activity. Fortunately, it hasn't panned out to be what the forecast was originally, but it only takes one storm, and that's what we pay attention to.
Having the past 2 years and two major storms under our belt, do you think that the city is as well prepared as it's been in its history?
I do believe that we are probably more prepared now than we have in the previous past. I think the fact that there has been wake-up calls to the community, whether you're a resident that lives here or a property owner, that it's taught those that things can happen and we need to be prepared and heed the warnings that take place. So in that respect, it's very good because we have been a community that has been spared for years on end. We've had an entire generation grow up here where nothing has happened. It's been a wake-up call, and I think the public has heeded that call and are much more focused on the potential for something bad to happen to them at any one time.
We've been speaking with Joe Theobald. Joe, always nice to talk to you, and all the best.
Take care, Brian.
To learn more about the preparedness plan for storms as well as the recovery program, click to our website, wamucoast.org. We'll end today's show with Scott Christopher and Elizabeth Hayes Christopher. They're both artists, painters, and photographers whose work has taken them around the world, from the ancient streets of Paris to the dry desert landscapes of the American Southwest. And as their last names might suggest, Scott and Elizabeth Christopher are married. They spend their days making art together, much of it brightly colored abstract paintings. They describe themselves as soulmates, and these days you can see how that translates into art in a pair of complimentary exhibitions at Gallery 50 and Philip Morton Gallery in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Scott and Elizabeth join me now on the phone to talk about these exhibitions and their approach to art. Welcome to you both. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
So I guess giving people a sense of scale about what your art represents and what it looks like, I guess I'll start off by just asking each of you to describe your art. Elizabeth, let's start with you.
If I were to describe my art, I would say that I'm an intuitive artist, and in my painting, I work in both an abstract and figurative form, and it's very important for me when I'm creating to create work that other people can immerse themselves in visually and emotionally and have a personal experience with. Right now, the show at Philip Morton is called Circles and Light, and it manifests this concept of passageways through the exploration of light in both its literal form and also its metaphorical form.
Scott, how about for you? Do you have a similar approach?
I would describe my art as a blending of both my internal and external canvases. I am a multi-discipline creator. That my core is launched from a very deep, abstract, intuitive, figurative, colorful, cubic, meaning a lot of volume, hemisphere. And there are pieces within my art, how I create, that I think there's a common thread there, but I have been exploring and excavating art since I was 3 years old, and I expect my art to be emotionally precise. Each brushstroke has a purpose, and the depth of my paint, composition of my figures, shapes, feelings, the color choices and blends are very important to me.
You know, the two of you, your story is just so fascinating from both an art perspective, but also the fact that, you know, you're married and you work together. And as you mentioned earlier, you're each other's muse. Elizabeth, tell me the story of how not only, you know, your story of becoming a couple, but also realizing that you both had this passion for art and you turned, you know, your personal relationship into these amazing pieces of art.
Yeah, it's pretty miraculous. I mean, we were living in different places. I was living in New York City, and Scott was living in Santa Fe. And I came with a friend out to Santa Fe for a vacation. And we went out that evening to a restaurant bar that was suggested to us by a local artist in Santa Fe as a place that many of the local people, cowboys and artists, go to. And so we thought that would be fun. And there I was sitting at the bar, and I turned to my right and saw Scott. And it was just this instantaneous feeling of, wow, there's something really special about that person. We intercepted later in the evening, and immediately just it was instantaneous connection. We were reciting poetry to each other. Within, you know, the next day we were creating together, and it was one of these beautiful moments where you align with someone, and I am aligned with him on an emotional level, but also on, I think, an artistic, what I would describe as an artistic language level or way of creating, idea of creating. Even though we're very different as artists, I think we come from a common place of creating from an intuitive space, and also from feeling the importance of the creative process and wanting to immerse our lives in it. And we're just so fortunate to have the beautiful and rare opportunity to experience each other's work and emotion and discoveries and insights every day. And we definitely are each other's muse. I think you can see it in some of the directly in some of the paintings and photography that we do. There's an indirect influence that runs through our work, and even though we maintain very distinct and individual styles, I think if you look at the work side by side, you'll see the wonderful influence that we're having on each other.
Well, we're running out of time here, but I want to finish up by asking you both a question. You know, making art in the modern day world, with technology being such a vast part about how artists are getting their work to the masses. You know, I know you both mentioned the use of Facebook and your personal websites to promote your work and getting these galleries and these exhibitions. Do you guys find it harder now to have your work stand out and to reach the people that you want to see your art these days versus, you know, the way it was maybe in the earlier part of your careers?
I myself find this a very, very exciting time to be an artist. Also, not only to just share my work with other people, but also to be able to be inspired mm-hmm. by other people. So I'm finding the technology actually a real plus.
I agree with Elizabeth there. I think this is the greatest time in history to be an artist. Artists have amazing access to information and content now, and the exposure meter for creators is substantial. And the creative frontiers are exploding. I feel that's great medicine for humanity, and it should be more about art.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining me here on Coastal Connection. We've been speaking with Scott Christopher and Elizabeth Hayes Christopher. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
You can check out Scott's art at Gallery 50 in Rehoboth Beach through October 16th. Elizabeth's work will be displayed at the Philip Morton Gallery also through October 16th. And you can see some of their art on our website as well. We're at WAMUcoast.org.